Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we are live at the Douglas County Fair. It's a Tuesday. No, it's not a Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. I did that again. Four-day fair today through Saturday. A lot going on out here, and we're kind of just watching it. We've got Matt Hill from Douglas Timber Operators. We'll talk to him in a moment. State Representative Virgil Osborne on with us now. How long have you been out here today?
Well, I actually was here yesterday, Kyle, setting up our booth, and I've been here this morning since about 10 to get in. And, it's getting crazy out here. It's looking fun.
And what do you like best about a county fair?
Well, as much as I hate to say it, I really like the food. There's all kinds of stuff that I would never normally eat. So when I come here, I feel like I get a hall pass. I got to eat what I shouldn't for at least a couple days.
And I guess the idea is that you might be walking it off. So maybe you're okay.
There's that, yeah. Well, and I work at my booth. I'll be here every day, pretty much the entire time. Really, the best part about it for me is the interaction with the folks that I don't get to see a lot. And this is a great place to get to know people and have a chat.
And let's see, you've lived here how many years?
I have lived in Douglas County for my entire life, 56 years, as of a couple days ago.
Yeah, we understand that. And you didn't make the birthday list on the radio. How did that happen?
I Matt Hill forgot to put me on it, I think. I'm going to blame it on Matt.
Okay. Well, we'll ask him about that in a little bit. So growing up around here, what's some of your memories of the county fair?
Oh, boy. The ones I can talk about? Okay.
Not on the police log.
Well, you know, I never was a real big fan of rides. I'm just too tall for them. I don't fit in them very well. We've had some great entertainment. As you can probably hear a little bit in the background, we have, I think, Slaughter's warming up right now. But we've had some really great bands, some good country bands. That's probably my favorite part from when I was younger, just coming here to watch that. And again, the food's great. And we used to do some – there used to be races during the fair, too, as well. But I don't know if they're doing that this year.
No, we've got the bull riding one of the nights, yeah.
The bull riding. And I think I'm actually going to speak a little bit at the start of the bull riding event.
Well, and speak quickly, because once the bulls are released, you probably don't want to be in their path.
No, I don't want to play bull poker. I'm pretty sure I'll be out of their way.
Well, maybe that's like navigating the legislature on a bad day.
Well, that's just like bull poker. Yes, it is. Absolutely. You just got to run when you can and pick your battles.
So, speaking of picking battles, what's going on legislatively this time of the summer?
So, we're right in the middle of the campaign season. So, you know, all the legislators, all of the legislators in the House, of course, are running for their seats again or running for seats that are open. So, that's keeping everybody really busy. We're doing tons of stuff right now. We're writing new bills to be heard in the long session, which comes up in January. So we have been meeting with the public, meeting with folks that have interest in laws they'd like to see changed or laws they'd like to see presented. We've just been super busy. It's been an everyday occurrence.
And do you have as many meetings during the summer?
Yeah, actually, they say the interim is when it's actually slower, but we've been almost every weekend we have something going on, and I would say at the very least every other day we have an event that we've been attending. It's never really slowed down at all.
Now, after going through a pandemic, all the technological advances that kind of got forced by that gives you the opportunity, though, to go to Salem or not go to Salem for some things, right?
Yeah, and there are still some things that happened because of the pandemic. You can actually, when we're in legislative days, you can zoom in and testify in the hearings, and during the long session, you'll be able to zoom in. You don't have to necessarily be in Salem, but there's nothing like actually being in Salem and being at a committee meeting when we're discussing bills, especially ones that are very, you know, critical or bills that are consequential to the folks in the district.
Now, talk about where's the capital construction project? What's going on with that?
So we get regular updates on that. I don't know what percentage of it's done yet. I know we got our parking back during the long session underneath of the building, and I believe it's in the final phases of it. And they've spent a ton of money on it, way more than I think they originally intended to spend. But I'm not real sure what the current state is. I haven't read the email about it, to be honest with you.
Do you feel like that's going to come out? Do you think it's going to be worth it to put all that money into the Capitol?
I mean, if it was up to me, I would have torn the building down and put up a new building. It would have been probably half the cost. But the commemorative parts of the building, they salvaged a lot of the stuff from the marble and slate. Ultimately, it's going to be great. I think the idea behind most of it was a retrofit to keep the potential of an earthquake or, you know, something like that knocking the building over. It's amazing what they've done underneath the building, all the excavation work, and they've literally floated the entire building, and they actually monitor every part of the building to make sure that it doesn't crack or move too far. It's pretty interesting.
Now, how old were you the first time you went to the Capitol?
Gosh, I'm going to say probably in grade school. I think we went on a field trip to the Capitol.
And what was it like to see that as a, you know, elementary kid or middle school kid?
I mean, you're awestruck a little bit. Just to say, hey, I'm in the presence of a senator or a state representative or the governor, I mean, it's pretty awe-striking until you get there. And then when you're this age, it's kind of like, well, they do the same job I do.
Well, and I mean, I think the first time I was there, I was about 10. We lived in Eastern Oregon then, and it was part of doing some traveling, summer, spring break. I'm not sure what it was. But I just remember being just daunted by, like, wow. And we didn't got to go into any of the legislative rooms, which nobody was on the weekend. But I actually got to sit in the governor's chair, though I found out later it was the governor's ceremonial office chair.
Yeah.
That was Tom McCall era, not that I'm that old. And so the chair was very tall. And I just remember sitting there and just kind of being blown away.
I can't say that I've ever sat in Governor Kotek's chair. I've not on many occasions, but she's not very tall.
Well, yeah. So Tom McCall, 6'5" or whatever he was, that made a big difference. When you embarked on this idea of being in the legislature, what was it that drove you to run for office the first time?
So I wanted to make a difference. I mean, having grown up here in a very conservative district, I didn't like the direction that our state was taking, to be honest with you. And I thought maybe being able to be in Salem and making a difference and working with the other legislators, I could make a difference. And I think, to a degree, my first term is pretty well almost to the end, and I think I've done some good stuff, and I'll hopefully we'll do even better stuff because I think you learn a little bit every year.
Is there something in particular that you point to that you're especially proud of how it came off?
You know, I got to say the thing that we worked really hard on recently that will just stay in my memory is that, we were able to change Measure 110. We were able to recriminalize hard drugs. And that was just a really important thing that needed to happen in the state to try to take back, get us back to where we were. I mean, our homeless issues are a real problem. Our crime issues are a real problem. We need to stand behind our police, and we need to stand behind our district attorneys and defend our districts. It really feels good to be on the right side of history on that bill.
And is there something in particular you're looking forward to in the next session?
I think you're going to see it. Yeah. I mean, I have several bills that I'm working on. Some of them are related. A lot of them are related to close district issues. And there's some search and rescue bills that I'm working on as well that I think are really important. But we're also going to be working on stuff that's going to hopefully pass some laws that will help us manage our forests. Obviously, as you can tell, the smoke in the air, our woods are on fire right now, and we need to control that.
Well, interesting that you mentioned the woods, and Matt Hill of Douglas Timber Operators is in here. What's your take on where we're at in Oregon on forest management right now?
We're in a very bad place. There's a lot of storms colliding. You've got decades of mismanagement on federal land, accumulation of just locally around Douglas County. We've got hundreds of thousands of acres of dead, standing, air-dried firewood ready to blow up, and it keeps reburning, and we're breathing it right now.
And we are seeing a little bit of smoke out here today at the fairgrounds. I didn't check the DEQ gauge before I came out. It's not too bad out there. And a lot of times, I mean, it was great this morning, so a lot of times it's the afternoon wind currents.
Well, I live in Glide, and when I drove in this morning, you couldn't see Mount Scott from colliding rivers, and usually it's right there. So that's how I gauge it. It doesn't smell too bad out here, but I'm also getting a lot of food smells, too, to cover up the wildfire smoke.
Yeah, I mean, nothing like wildfire smoke and cotton candy.
Yeah, it's a wonderful mix.
Oh, boy. So what are your thoughts from the DTO standpoint of the effectiveness of the legislature in looking at any of this? Or is this all stuff that is really federal-driven?
Well, it's both. I mean, the state and the feds have different issues to tackle. On the federal side, we've got, 60% of the forests in Douglas County federally managed. They're not being managed effectively for anything. They're not producing volume for local mills. We continue to see local mills close. They're not being managed well for fire resiliency. We've lost over 40% of the Umpqua National Forest in the last 30 years to fire, and some of that's reburning 2 and 3 times in that same period. So there's a major problem there. On the state end, and it's not Representative Osborne's fault, he's part of the solution, but the state doesn't want to be in the business of managing its forest lands. And here in Douglas County, we have the Elliott State Forest that has been divested from its management for economic benefit to fund public schools into a research forest, and then OSU walked away, and so now they're trying to cobble something together to move it forward, and I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with it, but it's no way to manage a forest, and forests shouldn't be managed by politics or courts. It should be managed by common sense and experts and scientists.
Matt Hillis from the Douglas Timber Operators, State Representative Virgil Osborne with us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of the conversation on Inside Douglas County. We are live from our booth right here at the Douglas County Fair. We'll tell you more about that when we come back. It's News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240. Thank you again. Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson back at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. We are live from the Douglas County Fair. Going to be doing that the rest of the week through Friday, talking to various folks. In fact, tomorrow we're going to talk about 4-H and FFA. Rebecca Melton is going to have some kids in to talk about the upcoming events, some shifts this year in terms of when the auction is, and more things as well. We are at the same place we've been for many years. We're right by the amphitheater. Just had sound check for the band playing tonight. And if you could spot the Umpqua Dairy booth, you can spot us because we're right next to it. And conveniently located near the beer garden, though we're not sure exactly how we ended up by the beer garden. It's amazing how these things happen. Matt Hill, Douglas Timber Operators, State Representative Virgil Osborne in here. Matt, you've lived here for eons with a break in between for a number of years. What's your take of the Douglas County Fair? What do you remember about when you came out as a kid?
I love the Douglas County Fair. I've been coming here as long as I can remember. I think one of my earliest memories is, you know, getting the old black and white cowboy picture with my dad, you know, dressed up in those clothes, period attire. And I still have the picture somewhere. So if my son's listening, probably time for us to get that picture done this year.
So is that where you kind of got a cowboy look?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, there's something to put on your list for this week. It's one of those that, you know, would be good to have around the house.
Absolutely. Along the other black and white family portraits with people who look legitimate in Western wear, not me.
Right. So were you involved in like 4-H and things like that?
No, I was never involved in that, but I am so impressed with the kids that are now. We work with a lot of them through DTO, interview them for scholarships, and I'm just blown away. I mean, their professionalism, their dedication, their work ethic, I'm really impressed with both those programs.
Now, Virgil, were you in 4-H or FFA at all?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was. I was involved heavily in dog training. I had canines when I was younger, and competed at the fair here, actually, every year for, I don't know, probably 8 or so years of it, yeah.
That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, yeah, especially my dogs were stray dogs that we found or whatever, and, yeah, it's just what we did.
So, and there are a lot of things that you learned out of that that probably helped you in a lot of other ways besides just training an animal.
Oh, yeah, I mean, dedication, commitment, I mean, you know, all those things. You have to be able to compete, you have to make sacrifices, and for sure.
All right, and we're going to let you get back to your booth. Where can people find you at the fair?
Well, I'm in the first building as you come in. I think it's a community building all the way toward the end. Can't miss us. We're down by the Republican booth right next to it pretty much. And, yeah, so come see us. We have all kinds of stickers and signs and cool stuff to give you, and we can talk about politics, and you can tell me all your issues you want to talk about.
All right, State Representative, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care. Take care, Matt.
All right.
See you.
and Matt Hill hanging around with us for the balance of the interview today. What is on the horizon for Douglas Timber Operators? What are some of the things you guys are focusing on right now?
Well, we're always focused on federal forest management, and fire season, you know, usually brings that to a head. And a particular focus, we've been analyzing fire history on the Umpqua National Forest and looking at where fires burn most intensely, where they burn repeated times, and that's where I got the statistic that, you know, about 40% of the Umpqua has burned in 30 years. And we've got some of those maps up in the Timber Pavilion here at the fairgrounds. But what we really want to do is learn from that history and how different land management approaches have worked or not worked, and stop repeating the same mistake. And, you know, federal government's looking to revisit and amend federal land management policies, and we want to inform that with facts of what's happening and what we're seeing on the ground.
And here in an election year, obviously, where you go or where you might see progress may depend on who ends up in office next year.
Absolutely. It's an unfortunate reality, but it's reality nonetheless, which is depending on who wins the White House, depending on who has a majority in Congress, that really determines the trajectory of federal land management one way or the other. And we have to be prepared for both scenarios and play this out for the long run. But, you know, really on federal lands, BLM, Forest Service, we're still playing out what Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore set in motion 30 years ago. And so the ship of state is large and it turns very slowly. But our job at DTO and with my member companies is to stick it out for the long run and make sure that trajectory is moving in the right direction. And I think we're beginning to get the bow of that ship pointed properly. I think people, whether you're a logger or just someone walking around the Douglas County Fair, you're impacted by fire. And more needs to be done on a much larger scale.
Are you concerned about the number of timber companies or mills that have closed in the last year or so?
I'm very concerned about it. I mean, we lost C&D Lumber here in Douglas County. We had lost one of the Swanson's mills several years ago in Glendale. Others around the state are closing. Locally, we're losing logging companies and contractors, which reduces our infrastructure to be able to do work. And that impacts this community moving forward. And I'm not surprised to see these closures based on the chronically low outputs of timber off of federal land, much lower than even Bill Clinton and Al Gore had anticipated. And so until we get, you know, a better, more predictable and sustainable volume of timber, it's tough for folks to stay in business.
And this time of year, well, actually, there went my next question because we're out of time. So Matt Hill, Douglas Timber Operators, thanks for coming over this afternoon.
Thanks, Matt.
And where do people find you guys at the fair?
We're at the big Timber Pavilion next to Douglas Hall. You can't miss us.
All right, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.